And I just wanted to know what you remember of hearing him, what your thoughts were.
When I first heard him in the office, I was amazed what approach that Tabitha had towards his music and the way he phrased things. When he had the solo, it was a small solo in his part, it seemed to me as if it was a kind of a performance that he gave that was almost ideal. He impressed me as an artist who everything that he did was towards perfection. And whether it's a single note or a phrase or a whole movement, you felt that nothing was left out. It was polished, chiseled, and just the perfect kind of a expression you felt was ideal. And I always felt that he took an attitude of that he was giving a message, a personal message, when he played.
He was one of the outstanding members of the orchestra.
He was, yeah, all the woodwind and all the, they all looked to him to sort of set the kind of a atmosphere that they would fit in. He was the leader, whether admitted or not. He always was the deciding voice. I mean, that was the approach that he had.
Do you remember when you first heard him, how long ago it was?
It was the late 20s.
When you were at Curtis, did he teach at Curtis then? Do you remember?
Yeah, Stokowski brought him in here.
Oh, is that
he took, yeah, brought him to the Curtis, and he taught there for a number of years. I never knew him personally, just seeing him as my acquaintance. So that's
my impression. Do you remember anything about his tone?
Well, it was a unique kind of a tone. Every note was so perfect. It fitted into the whole phrase that you just sat there hypnotized, waiting for the phrase to finish. I mean, the quality of the sound was so, and yet he fitted in perfectly with the rest of them. I mean, they were all excellent musicians, but you felt as if he was the one that set the atmosphere without wanting it. I mean, he gave that impression.
Did you go to a lot of concerts in those days?
Oh, yes. Every Saturday.
And were this when you were still a student or when you were
still a student.
So when did you actually graduate, about 29 or something?
It was 30.
So you started going to hear the orchestra when you were still in school.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
So his tone was a very special, as you said, a very special kind of thing.
Yes, it was a unique sound, and it was so perfect in its projection. Very extraordinary.
They didn't play many concertos in those days.
I don't remember him playing a solo with the orchestra.
Yeah. They didn't use winds as soloists in those days very much.
No. Well, I think Kincaid, the truest, played.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
But you played solo with the Philly Orchestra, didn't you?
Yes.
Several times. Was he the oboist when behind you?
Yes.
Oh, so you actually played with him then?
I played with him. Right.
So you heard him on stage as well?
Yeah, that's right.
Lila is, writing this book. She studied with him for a number of years at Curtis. Mm-hmm. She's trying to capture in words to get people who actually heard him in performance, especially in the early days, because if you heard him in the late 20s,
but he was a member when I came.
Yeah. When you were at Curtis, did he do much playing at Curtis, do you remember?
No. I never heard him play solo.
So it was really in the orchestra, the solos that he had. So basically it was the sound that you remembered. So
yeah, and the phrasing sound was just, you were hypnotized.
He was supposed to be a real personality, you know.
I understand he played the stock market.
I hope he didn't play it in 1929. Any other remembrances that come to your mind?
Well, you heard. You worked with him.
Yeah, I worked with him, but it wasn't in orchestra context. It was, he playing solos for me. He played all these excerpts for me, little oboe excerpts that he used to have a lot of fun
with. Didn't you get the feeling,
I mean, he was constantly working. To the day he died, he was still working on perfection.
Yeah,
they were good years, huh?
Yes.
Well, that's great. Well, Iso, thank you very much. That's great for that.